Welcome back to the Crypto Daily. Today, we're diving into Bitcoin's recent price action and some intriguing altcoin movements. Let's start with BTC. It's been flirting with new highs, but what's really caught my eye is the RSI flattening out in the overbought territory. Our guest today, Guessname, is here to help us unpack this.
Thanks for having me. That RSI action is fascinating. While a double top on a price chart often hints at a reversal, on the RSI, it can actually signal continuation. Think of it like a car hitting a speed limiter. It doesn't mean it's stopping, just that it's reached a controlled top speed.
Interesting analogy. So rather than bracing for a crash, we should be looking for further upward movement?
Potentially. The key here is the volume accompanying this rally. It's not just a pump and dump. There's real buying pressure. If Bitcoin holds above 70,000 odd, we could see it target 78,000 or even higher. But if volume drops, that's a yellow flag.
Now let's switch gears to Cardano and Solana. ADA has finally broken above its long-term resistance at 35 to 36 cents, and SOLL is eyeing its all-time high after reclaiming $200. What's your take on these altcoins?
Both are showing promising signs. ADA breaking that resistance is huge. It's like a runner finally breaking through a wall they've been hitting for months. The technical indicators are bullish, but the RSI is also over 70, so a slight pullback wouldn't be surprising. For SOL, hitting $200 sets up a solid base for a potential run to its all-time high around 260. The DeFi ecosystem on Solana is thriving, which is a major driver of this growth.
So a mixed bag of caution and optimism. What's the biggest takeaway for our listeners today?
Watch the volume. It's the most reliable indicator of true market sentiment. High volume confirms strong conviction, while declining volume suggests waning interest. Regardless of the asset, keep your eyes on the volume.
Let's delve into the potential conflict of interest brewing around Howard Lutnick, Trump's transition co-chair, and the cryptocurrency Tether, which is currently under Treasury investigation.
This situation is fascinating because it exposes the growing intersection of politics and the crypto world. Lutnick's public endorsement and management of Tether assets, combined with his potential role as Treasury Secretary, creates a tangled web of potential conflicts.
Especially given the Treasury's ongoing investigation into Tether for alleged illicit activities. How could this impact regulatory decisions if Lutnick takes the helm at Treasury?
It raises serious questions about impartiality. Even if Lutnick recuses himself from Tether-related decisions, the perception of bias could linger. This situation underscores the need for clear ethical guidelines regarding crypto holdings for government officials.
Absolutely. This also highlights the broader trend of crypto's influence in politics. Trump's vocal support for the industry, combined with figures like Lutnick and Besant, potentially holding key positions, suggests a potentially favorable regulatory environment for crypto under a second Trump administration.
It's a double-edged sword. While a pro-crypto stance could foster innovation and growth, it also risks overlooking potential downsides and regulatory loopholes. The challenge will be finding a balance that encourages responsible development without stifling innovation.
Precisely. The interplay between politics, regulation, and the crypto industry is complex and evolving. And this situation with Lutnick and Tether is a prime example of the challenges ahead. So we've got another alarming story highlighting the security risks in the crypto world. A Toronto crypto CEO, Dean Skurka, was kidnapped and $1 million ransom paid electronically secured his release. This incident coincides with Bitcoin hitting new all-time highs, raising questions about the correlation between crypto prices and crime.
It's a classic case of perceived wealth attracting unwanted attention. Criminals often operate under the mistaken belief that crypto CEOs have direct access to vast sums, similar to how someone might think a bank CEO has the keys to the vault. The rise in Bitcoin's price likely fueled this perception, making Skurka a target.
It's fascinating, yet troubling, how this echoes traditional crime, but with a crypto twist. The use of cryptocurrency for the ransom also highlights its appeal to criminals due to its perceived anonymity and ease of transfer.
Exactly. And while the success rate of these attacks is concerningly high, the fact that only 171 such incidents have been recorded in the past decade suggests it's not a widespread epidemic. However, it underscores the need for heightened security measures within the crypto community, especially for high-profile individuals.
Absolutely. It's a reminder that the security conversation in crypto needs to extend beyond digital wallets and smart contracts to personal safety. The human element remains a vulnerability, and this incident serves as a wake-up call for better security protocols for individuals in the space.
The mixing services also add another layer of complexity to tracing these funds. It's a cat-and-mouse game between law enforcement and increasingly sophisticated criminals exploiting the anonymity features of crypto.
Shifting gears from security concerns, let's talk about education. Polkadot Blockchain Academy just announced PBAX, a new online course aimed at onboarding the next wave of Web3 professionals. What are your initial thoughts?
It's a smart move by Polkadot. The barrier to entry in Web3 can be quite high, so creating accessible educational resources is crucial for broader adoption. A 4-week, part-time online format is perfect for busy professionals or those just starting to explore the space.
The curriculum sounds comprehensive, covering cryptography, economics, governance, and the Polkadot SDK. It's interesting that they're emphasizing both general blockchain concepts and Polkadot-specific elements.
That's a key differentiator. It provides a foundational understanding of blockchain while also giving participants a practical entry point into the Polkadot ecosystem. It's like learning music theory alongside mastering a specific instrument.
The involvement of Dr. Gavin Wood is also a significant draw. It adds credibility and signals a commitment to high-quality instruction.
Absolutely. Having a leading figure in the blockchain space directly involved in curriculum development speaks volumes. It's not just a cash grab. It's a genuine effort to educate and empower the next generation of Web3 developers.
The emphasis on accessibility is also commendable. No prior technical skills are required, making it open to a wider audience. This aligns with the broader movement towards democratizing access to Web3 technologies.
Democratization is key. We need diverse perspectives and talent in this space. Initiatives like PBAX can help bridge the knowledge gap and create a more inclusive Web3 community.
So we've seen increasing adoption of crypto payments by major retailers. Why is Amazon, arguably the biggest online retailer, still holding out on Bitcoin?
It's a complex issue. While there's no official word from Amazon, several factors are likely at play. Bitcoin's volatility makes pricing and returns a challenge. Regulatory uncertainty is another hurdle. And let's not forget Amazon's existing lucrative agreements with credit card companies. They might not be incentivized to disrupt a system that's already working well for them.
Some speculate that Jeff Bezos' personal views on Bitcoin might have played a role. But with Andy Jassy at the helm now, that influence might be waning. There's also the theory that Amazon is planning its own digital currency, which would explain their reluctance to embrace a competitor.
That's a compelling argument. Amazon has already ventured into blockchain with the Amazon Managed Blockchain. Creating their own digital currency would be the next logical step. It would give them even greater control over their ecosystem and potentially generate new revenue streams.
It's a fascinating case study in the intersection of traditional commerce and the evolving world of crypto. The workaround with gift cards allows consumers to use Bitcoin indirectly, but it's not a seamless solution. The added tax implications and fees are a deterrent for many.
Exactly. The current workaround highlights the need for a more streamlined, integrated solution. Whether Amazon eventually accepts Bitcoin directly or launches its own digital currency, the future of payments on the platform is sure to be interesting.
So, let's dive into the world of cryptocurrency payment gateways. These platforms are designed to make it easier for businesses to accept crypto while still receiving fiat currency. Essentially, they act as intermediaries, handling the conversion and simplifying the process for merchants.
Exactly. Think of them as the crypto equivalent of traditional payment processors like Stripe or PayPal. They bridge the gap between the digital and traditional financial worlds, allowing businesses to tap into the growing crypto market without having to become crypto experts themselves.
It seems like a valuable service, especially for businesses hesitant to deal with the technical complexities of crypto. But what are the trade-offs? Are there any downsides to using these gateways?
Well, the main disadvantage is the fees. Gateways typically charge a percentage per transaction, which can eat into profits. Plus, you're relinquishing some control over the payment process to a third party. For businesses comfortable managing their own crypto wallets, a direct approach might be more cost-effective.
That makes sense. It's a trade-off between convenience and cost, similar to traditional payment methods. But for businesses looking for a simple entry point into accepting crypto, gateways offer a valuable on-ramp.
Absolutely. And as the crypto landscape matures, we can expect to see even more sophisticated gateway solutions emerge, offering greater flexibility and lower fees.
So let's pivot to some interesting data out of the Netherlands. A 2018 survey revealed some fascinating insights into cryptocurrency ownership across different age groups. What stood out to you in this report?
The generational divide in altcoin adoption. While Bitcoin ownership was fairly consistent across all age demographics, Ethereum and Litecoin saw significantly higher adoption among younger respondents, particularly those aged 18 to 34. This suggests a greater appetite for experimentation and perhaps a stronger belief in the potential of these newer cryptocurrencies among younger investors.
It's a fascinating point. Do you think this reflects a greater tech savviness among younger generations, or is there something more at play here?
It's likely a combination of factors. Familiarity with technology certainly plays a role, but I also think it reflects a difference in risk tolerance. Younger investors are generally more comfortable with higher risk assets, and cryptocurrencies, especially altcoins, certainly fall into that category. They're also more open to exploring new financial technologies and less tied to traditional investment vehicles.
That makes sense. It's almost like the early adoption of the internet itself, where younger generations were quicker to embrace the new technology and its potential. It will be interesting to see how these trends evolve as the crypto market matures.
Absolutely. And as regulation and understanding of cryptocurrencies improve, we might see wider adoption across all age groups. But for now, the data clearly points to a youth-driven trend in altcoin adoption, at least in the Netherlands.
Let's delve into the environmental impact of cryptocurrency, a topic that's gaining increasing attention. A 2022 White House report highlighted the significant energy consumption of crypto mining and its contribution to greenhouse gas emissions.
Yes, the report was a wake-up call, revealing that crypto mining consumed more electricity than entire countries. And the energy use has only grown since, due to factors like reduced block rewards and increased mining difficulty.
The report also touched upon the impact on water resources and e-waste generation. Some estimates suggest a single Bitcoin transaction can consume thousands of gallons of water, and the annual e-waste from mining hardware is substantial.
It's a concerning trend. While the industry explores more sustainable alternatives like proof of stake, the current reliance on proof-of-work mining presents a real challenge to our climate goals.
The White House report prompted efforts to collect data on crypto mining's energy use, but these have faced legal challenges. What's your take on this resistance to transparency?
It raises red flags. If the energy consumption figures weren't alarming, there wouldn't be such strong opposition to data collection. This lack of transparency only fuels concerns about the true environmental cost of cryptocurrencies.
Absolutely. It underscores the need for greater regulation and accountability within the industry. The potential for innovation in the crypto space is undeniable, but it shouldn't come at the expense of our planet.
Precisely. We need to find a balance between fostering innovation and mitigating the environmental impact. The future of crypto depends on it.
Let's dive into the sentencing of Roman Sterlingov, the creator of Bitcoin Fog, a 150-month sentence for operating a crypto mixer, a landmark case, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. This case sets a precedent, demonstrating that crypto isn't a lawless Wild West. Laundering over $400 million through Bitcoin Fog, even if he claims it wasn't him operating it, is a serious offense. The sentencing reinforces that illegal activities, even in the crypto space, will face consequences.
His defense was interesting, claiming his crypto wealth came from early investments, not Bitcoin Fog profits. He even admitted to using the service for privacy, which almost feels like a self-own.
It's a weak defense. The financial trail linking him to the domain registration, along with other evidence presented, painted a compelling picture for the prosecution. His claims of working as a web designer and not remembering details from 2011 simply didn't hold up.
It highlights the importance of robust blockchain analysis and tracing techniques in these investigations. The ability to follow the money, even through mixers, is crucial for law enforcement. This case sends a clear message to other mixer operators and users engaged in illicit activities.
Indeed, it's a win for regulatory efforts in the crypto world. This isn't just about catching criminals, it's about building trust and legitimacy in the cryptocurrency ecosystem. The sentence reinforces the message that while privacy is important, it cannot be a shield for criminal behavior.
Thanks for your insights. That's all the time we have for today. This is Hostname with Crypto Daily, signing off.